Lord God, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand, to believe, and to live out your word for your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down. In the month of August, we're doing a little series through one section of the book of Revelation. Chapter 9 of the book of Revelation is probably the chapter where lots of people give up. I guess they start reading the book, understand quite a bit in the first chapters, rather impressed by the throne room scene, and then the warning trumpets are sounded, and chapter 9 is probably the most difficult to stomach. Lots of people might give up, but we're going on. Just till the end of the month, it's a 4-week series, a chapter a week, until the end of August. If you read a book like Revelation, it's good to start at the start, and chapter 1 tells us that the vision was given by Jesus to John. And in that introductory few verses at the start, before the first of the scenes is given, we see that it's described as concerning what is and what is to come. Can you see chapter 1, verse 19? Now write what you have seen, what is, and what is to take place after. So the book of Revelation addresses both things of the present age and things of the age to come. And I would submit that each of the scenes of the book has both. So in the scene that we're looking at, the scene of the messengers with trumpet warnings, the seven angels, seven trumpets, in chapters 8 to 11. The first four trumpets, which we looked at last Sunday, are natural disasters within the present times. That's after Jesus' first coming, before his second. And then the last verse of chapter 8, 13, tells us that the other trumpets are particularly difficult warnings. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And these are like a different grouping. The first four and then the other three. Such that the other three are numbered. The first woe, the second woe, the third woe. And I suggest that this is because they are to do more with what is to come towards the end. So four trumpets to do with what is, three trumpets more to do with what is to come. In this way, I hope you can see the framework through which it is possible to see what the book of Revelation is presenting to us. And last week I also referred you to Mark chapter 13 and similar chapters in the other Gospels where Jesus talks about the future to his disciples in the last couple of days before he faced his death on the cross. And he warns them about wars and natural disasters and says these are like birth pangs. You know, the first painful contractions to warn a woman who is expecting that she needs to get to the hospital because a lot more pain is going to come before it's all over and new life is born. Jesus used that picture, birth pangs. And doesn't it suggest this? In our days, he's saying, it's like birth pangs. And then near the end of our days, this age, just before the age to come, there will be tribulation. And then when Jesus has come again, his people will be with him and there'll be no more pain, just new life in the new place. Can you see how that picture of the process of birth and its pain and its utterly unbearable pain and tribulation is Jesus's way of giving us a handle on what is and what is to come? Now, if Jesus used that picture in his Holy Week explanation to his disciples, we shouldn't be surprised by a similar picture here in Revelation. The four trumpets of Revelation 8 tell us that major natural disasters in our age can be seen as warnings, trumpet warnings, that will be noticed by everyone in the hope that everyone will take notice and do something in response to God before the final warnings come, before it's too late. Because here in chapter 9 is the start of the final warnings. Have you ever had a final warning? You don't have to put your hands up. But having a final warning isn't pleasant at all. The boss has to spell it out in a way which hurts. And if they're any good, they're saying maybe it's the only way we'll change. It's the last chance. That's the nature of these warnings here in chapter 9 of Revelation. And let's have a look at chapter 9. It's on page 272 of the Church Bibles. It's the last book of the Bible if you've got your own Bible with you. Chapter 9, verse 1 says this, "And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit." Now, this is Revelation, it's painting a picture, and we should start thinking now, what's this then? Who's the fallen star? Who's got the key to the bottomless pit, which is depicted as full of fire? What is that place? And we read on in verse 3 and 4. "Then from the smoke came locusts of the earth, and they were given authority like the authority of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to damage the grass or any green growth, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." So who feeds on vulnerable people who haven't put their faith in Jesus? Who enjoys this sort of torture? And who sends others out to do his dirty work, who are in many ways very attractive, but in other ways quite thuggish? Very attractive. Crowns of gold, faces like human faces, hair like women's hair, teeth like lions' teeth, but bent on destruction and ruin. And in verse 11, as this section comes to an end, this picture comes to an end, "They have as king over them the angel, the messenger of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he's called Apollyon," which are, can you see the notes at the bottom of the page, are both translated as destroyer. Who is the destroyer? Now, when you get this sort of picture in Revelation, don't concentrate on the little details and get hung up by one little sort of detail. Just do what we're being encouraged to do by the writer, which is to put the whole picture together as well as we can and come to a conclusion on that. Assemble the clues and a knowledge of the Bible, because this is the last book, you've been expected to read the rest of it before you get to this book, and the knowledge of the Bible would tell you this is the devil, God's spiritual opponent, who will be given a short while before the end of this age, let's call it 5 months, when he is let loose to do his worst. And so it will be a woeful time, particularly woeful for those who don't have the assurance of knowing Jesus Christ and their future with him. So that's the first part of chapter 9, which is the fifth angel, the fifth trumpet, the first woe. And then we come to the second part of chapter 9, which is the sixth trumpet, or the second woe. Can you see from verse 12? The first woe has passed. There are still two woes to come. The book of Revelation is very helpful for us. It does tell us the structure. It's helping us through, seeing where this is going, even though some of the language and the pictures are alien, and the nature of the literature is not what we're used to, unless we read these sort of books. Some do. But it helps us. We can see where it's going. So in verse 13, then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels were released to kill a third of humankind. And then a picture of the powerful cavalry which would enable this to happen. So another terrible picture of widespread destruction and even death. Now, this picture would have been understood by people who understood the Old Testament invasions of Palestine, Israel. The invasions usually came from the direction of which river? The Assyrian army further up the Euphrates, the Babylonians a bit further down the Euphrates. This is where sudden invasion, sudden destruction used to emanate from. And so they would have understood this picture, wouldn't they? And those invasions were described in the Old Testament as being provided from the hand of God, because they were judgments upon the people who had turned so far away from their right relationship with him. So this is symbolic of sudden, widespread destruction that should make the rest of the population get ready. And this time, rather than being from the hand of God's enemy, this is unleashed at God's command. And indeed, the picture used in here is plagues. Which part of the Old Testament should that remind us of? Yeah, Exodus, the early chapters of Exodus, the plagues of Egypt, Moses and the Pharaoh. And that's the illusion. The illusion suggested by verse 18, by these three plagues, a third of humankind was killed. And the plagues of Egypt got more destructive as they went along, and at the last involved significant widespread death, because it was God's last warning. After all his previous warnings, which had been ignored, that Pharaoh should release his oppressed people. And so this, the sixth angel, the sixth trumpet, the second woe, is describing the final warning of this age, which is still to come for us, because this age is still in progress. It will come in the future, just before the Lord brings an end to all things with the final judgment, and so brings all people to either one place or the other. The accuser's place, from which the Lord is trying to save people, or God's place. So there is one final tumultuous warning, one last chance for those who have yet to repent of their sin and receive salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. God believes in second chances and third chances and last chances. And even at the end, the Lord wants everyone to see there is a final opportunity to repent. One last warning, one last destructive act, because it's often only something shocking which makes us wake up. And so God's saying, come on, wakey, wakey. Don't you fear? Come on, all of you. This is your chance. It's your last chance to turn off the wide road that leads to destruction and to find yourself on the narrow road which leads to life. Last chance saloon. As the sixth trumpet rings out. And all that's left in this chapter is an indication of whether this works. Does it work? Verse 20. The rest of humankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands or give up worshipping other things than God. Did not repent of their sinful actions. No, it doesn't work. But it was still important to give a final warning, wasn't it? If your 19-year-old is making it too difficult for everyone else in the house, so that you as parents come to the point of deciding that he or she must be thrown out, and some parents do get to that stage, before you throw them out, you must give a final warning, mustn't you? Even if you think the final warning will be ignored because the relationship has broken down so badly, you still give it, don't you? It's the right thing to do. It's the loving thing to do. God so loves the world that he gave his only Son so that all who believe in him may not perish. God wants people to avoid the third woe. So his sixth trumpet, his second woe, is a final warning, loud and clear, dramatic and obvious and stark. The Lord will try to the last. But if we will not hear the need to turn to the Lord, even through the tremendous voice of the pains of bereavement and disaster, then there can be no hope for us. And the last trumpet will sound. But that's for next week and the week after. Let's pray. Lord God, these are parts of the Christian message that we often hide from. These are parts of the Christian message which we often try to imagine aren't there. But your word shows us that these things are there, that you have plans for the future that you want us to know about. You want everyone to know about, so that all might turn and be saved. Please help us to hear, to receive, to understand, to think through, and to act upon your word for your name's sake. Amen.